So I meant to mention this. Great to see Clay and Deanna and Moses and Caleb. We'll give the official intro to them on Sunday. Many times first service, we just have a word of prayer. But was it Moses that blew the Red Sea? Caleb, little blowout. That's, you know, you guys didn't get that. So it's great. Just thank you for your prayers. They're doing well. And so we'll officially introduce them on Sunday. And that's good. Genesis chapter 41, title of the message, Joseph is now ready. Just a little background. So for those that are new to Wednesdays, we are going through the Old Testament. We're going through the book of Genesis. So this would be, this probably be roughly, I mean, we started Genesis last March. So we've been in Genesis for quite some time. So it's more than the early chapters. I took more than 1 week on the early chapters. But here we are with Joseph. Joseph was the 11th child of Jacob. And he was, at the time, the youngest until Benjamin was born. And Joseph was the star. He was the favored child. Many of you have heard of the coat of many colors. There's some Broadway thing out there for Jacob's coat or something. I don't know what it's called, but somebody told me that the other day. So Jacob's coat of many colors or something like that. Is that what it's called? And so, you know, Hollywood's taken it. Who knows what they've done with it? Probably not good. And so he was the favored son, and the other boys knew it. And that's just going to drive jealousy. And as believers, we should handle that because of Christ. But it's irritating if you're at a job and your boss is showing favoritism to people that either don't deserve it or just it's just not the thing to do, right? It's so he was Jacob's favorite, and the boys hated him. They had a plan to kill him, and they sold him into slavery. So he is sold into slavery, into Egypt, and a culture he doesn't know, a language he doesn't know, and he is a faithful servant. He works for the captain of the guard, Potiphar, and he serves there for 11 years. Well, his wife, Potiphar's wife, took a fancy to Joseph and tried to get him to sin, and by God's grace, his mercy, actually, the Bible says, Joseph fled. And he fled so aggressively that she grabbed his robe and then claimed that he was trying to do terrible things to her. Well, Potiphar then put him into prison. But Potiphar was still over that prison. And so then you remember Joseph's in prison. He has the butler and the baker, and they both have dreams. And the butler had a dream, and he lives. The baker had a dream, and he's killed 3 days later. And Joseph told them, remember me when you get out of here. Well, that brings us to chapter 41. He told them, remember me, and now it's 2 years later. So here's where we're at. Joseph was 17 when he left his home. He's going to be 30 years old in this chapter. So what transpires in this chapter, Joseph was 30 years old. So 13 years, never seeing any family, and we're going to just, I think, enjoy a bunch tonight. Genesis 41, I'm only going to go through verse 46 tonight. You're like, why didn't you just do all 57? The next verses, I think, will fit better with next week's message. Genesis 41, verse 1. And it came to pass at the end of two full years, that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. So Pharaoh has a dream here. The Bible is going to tell us the dream. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine, or cows. Okay, so and behold, verse 2, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kind and fat-fleshed, and they fed in the meadow. Juicy, fat cows. You don't want skinny cows unless you're on a diet, right? They actually named some dessert skinny cow, right? That's an oxymoron, isn't it? But so these fat-fleshed, and they fed in the meadow. Behold, 7 other kind came up after them out of the river, ill-favored, lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kind upon the brink of the river. You got the picture? Bunch of fat cows, bunch of skinny cows. Verse 4. And the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kind did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kind. So Pharaoh woke. Wakes up. I'm bothered by this. And he slept and dreamed the second time, and behold, 7 ears of corn came up upon one stalk, rank and good, looking good. And behold, 7 thin ears, and blasted with the east wind, sprang up after them. And the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. And he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream. But there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. Verse 9. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Now, there's some that believe that the butler was saying, I remember I've messed up and I didn't remember Joseph. No, I think the butler's saying, I remember when I got in trouble with you, Pharaoh, and you put me in prison, I remember this guy. That's what I think he's saying. I don't think he's having a, he's bothered. That's my opinion. So the butler, verse 9, then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants and put me in ward and the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream in one night, I and he. We dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was there with us a young man, an Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams, to each man according to his dream, and he did interpret. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was. What he said happened. Me, he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. Verse 14. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to understand it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. That's bold. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, in my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river. He's going to retell the dream. I want you guys to see if you can find. He gives one additional piece of information, which is helpful. So he said, verse 17, I dreamed in my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river, and behold, there came up out of the river seven kind, fat-fleshed and well-favored, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, seven other kind came up after them, poor and very ill-favored and lean-fleshed, such as I never saw in all the land of Egypt, for badness. And the lean and ill-favored kind did eat up the first seven fat kind. And when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them up. But they were still ill-favored, as at the beginning, so I awoke. And I saw in my dream, and behold, seven ears came up in one stalk, full and good. And behold, seven ears withered thin and blasted with the east wind sprang up after them. And the thin ears devoured the seven good ears. And I told this unto the magicians, but there was none that could declare it unto me. Verse 25. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God hath showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good kind are 7 years, and the seven good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. And the seven thin and ill-favored kind that came up after them are 7 years. And the seven empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. This is in verse 29. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. And there shall arise unto them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of the famine following, for it shall be very grievous. Verse 32. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice, it is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Let's stop there. I'll read the rest a little bit later. We'll talk about this first part. Joseph is now ready. 13 years. Joseph has his doctoral degree in management, in patience, in submission to God, and in waiting on the Lord. I want to tell you, if you study the Bible, if you want to be a good manager, if you want to be someone that understands how to lead people, the Bible is management 101, 201, 301, 401, and 501. You can get the best instruction from the Bible. You want to be a good servant? It's right here. And you're going to see that we haven't read these yet. Joseph's plan was of God. God had blessed him. He was a good businessman. I mean, everything that Potiphar had was blessed, and I know that's of God, but Joseph was a man that God blessed because of faithfulness. I want to tell you, you want God's blessings, do what God wants, but wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Verse 1, it highlights for me God's timing. Look at this, and it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. I like one-liner thoughts, and I catch some of these when I read different things. Listen to this statement. Some of you will be able to relate to this. Sometimes the good done by God's people seems unrewarded. Let me tell you, not true, but it feels that way. Sometimes the good done by God's people seems unrewarded. Do you think Joseph felt unrewarded because he wasn't sinless? But I will tell you, he was a man that honored God, because you know that. He gets taken out of the prison, and like every other word, God, 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 God. And that wasn't Pharaoh's God. And so, waiting on the Lord sometimes, it says waiting is a common theme in the Christian life. It says God often appoints believers to wait much longer than they would like. I want you to know that God's hand was in this. I'm going to show you a few verses. God's timing, wait on the Lord. And it was Sean, you reminded me, and so I kind of ran from our Bible study early this week, and you mentioned Isaiah 40:31. I'll have that in here too, right? And it was just helpful for me, and I've just run with it. I want to show you Psalm 37:9. It says this. It says, "For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." It's this. Do you know why Christians sin? God's not worth waiting on. God's not worth serving. The Bible's clear if we wait on the Lord. Look at this in Psalm 123. "Behold, as the eyes of the servant look upon the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden look into the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that he have mercy upon us." Mercy, not getting what we deserve. Are we willing to wait on the Lord, trust the Lord? And here's what's going to be interesting. You're going to see this. This is so fascinating. It's sort of, nothing is original with me, right? I read too many things, and when I read things, oh, that's good. It's, guess what? Joseph, 13 years, and it's like, boom! Quick, hastily, the Bible says, right? Quick, get shaved, get some clothes on. Bing, boom, bing. Hi, Pharaoh. Waits 13 years. Some of you that in the business world, right, they're always like, hurry, wait. What? You know, I missed my time with my family last night. I wish I kind of would love to go back to work and be like, oh, I'm so sorry. I figured you weren't serious. So I didn't do it. I mean, how many times did I stay over? And they're like, oh, no, you know, it's not going to happen. And, you know, but I'm so stressed out. If I don't get this done, I'm going to get fired, right? But it's hurry, wait. I want to show you just these verses. I want to show you a verse before Isaiah 40:31. You guys are familiar with Isaiah 40:31. Most of you are. But look at Isaiah 8:17. It kind of gives perspective. "And I will wait upon the Lord." Look at this next phrase. "That hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him." That is how Israel felt. That God was hiding his face from them. But I love the verse, "I will wait upon the Lord, who hideth his face from Jacob, and I will look for him." You just understand the Bible. The theme of the Bible is the key to the Bible. The key to the Bible is focus on Jesus Christ. You get your focus off of Jesus Christ, good does not happen. I want you to understand this. It's so simple. It's that if you find yourself, and you know this, if you find your thoughts, you need to discipline your thoughts. If you find your thoughts wandering, submit your thoughts to the Lord and focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can do it. You can overcome your thoughts, and you can overcome your actions. You can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth you. It is that simple. You know, Nike has a theme that says, just do it. Yeah, we could say that as Christians, just do it, and there's another theme that says, just don't do it. It's that simple. But boy, you make it complicated, right? We make it complicated, but even when the Lord hides his face from you, we must wait. We must wait on the Lord. And then Isaiah 40:31, look at this. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. It is, Joseph is a perfect example of that, is he not? I mean, he waited upon the Lord. Did he not soar? You wait upon the Lord, that doesn't mean you're going to be second in command. I do find it interesting when I see people elevated in the Scriptures, and we'll look at that in just a second. It's not because they pursued it. God's the one that will give you promotion. You pursue Him, He'll take care of everything else. I've got these verses. It's just, for me, when I think of Joseph, you all are familiar with Philippians 4:11. I could have put it on the screen. I didn't. But Paul, speaking to the church at Philippi, he said this. And Paul did not have an abundance of just material things, but he had enough. He had enough. And he says this. He says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." Now, here's the struggle, at least in my mind. I wish the Lord would tell me this, right? That's tell me, you know, so I am so optimistic about my knees. Give me 3 months. If I'm still limping around, I'll be like, "They that wait upon the Lord," you know. I mean, I wish the Lord would send me a telegram and say, "Oh, I've got 2 years and 1 month to hang in there, and then it's over with whatever I'm dealing with," right? Don't you wish He'd send you a telegram like that? You shouldn't, because that would be like saying God's not doing it right. It's a trick question. But it is, but I would love that, right? I would love that. Okay, Lord, because then I kind of have this mentality, right? I remember, you know, football practice. I hated August. I mean, I just hated it. You know, you think I hate working out, and it's like, you know, it's like, who wants to practice? I just want to play. And, you know, 2 a days, you're just sweating, you know, and here's what I would do. I'd be like, 10 more minutes, man. I can gut it out 10 minutes, right? I've run a couple half marathons, right? That's not why my knees are bad, but I am not the build for half marathons, right? When I run, it's like, the earth shakes, right? And then I see these, like, gazelles. Oh, they're not even touching the ground. I'm like, right? And so I probably did hurt myself. But I'm telling you this. Here's the way I would do it. 1/10 of a mile. Only 13 to go. 12.9. 12.8. 12.7. And then I'd be like, oh, I got distracted. 12.5. I missed it. But God doesn't do that, does He? He didn't tell Joseph when he was going to do it, but here's what I think Joseph did. This is super important. I want to have this mentality, and this is just something I've pondered, I've meditated on this week, that I was going through Ecclesiastes with a young man. He didn't know the book of Ecclesiastes, so you know, I took, you know, talked about his grinders ceasing. You know, it's so rough. If you want to be discouraged about getting old, read Ecclesiastes. I'll tell you what. So I read a little bit there, you know, and I was like, huh. And here's what I want to do. I want to be content. I think Joseph was content. Now, he pleaded. He still stood up for himself. He pleaded and said, you know, tell somebody that I'm here. Get me out of here. I've not done anything wrong. It doesn't mean you won't, but he was content. And he served the Lord. You know why? Because you'll go nuts. If your contentment is only based on God doing something, or God changing something, or God answering it the way you want, you're probably going to be miserable. Because if the devil learns that, he's going to do everything he can. Now God's in charge. He's going to do everything he can to make sure that never happens for you, because then he can have you be miserable. Whatever state I'm in, and I would love to know, when's the end point, Lord? When's the end point? I need to be content. Easier said than done, right? But I think that's what kept Joseph. He was content in glorifying and honoring God in the dungeon, in the prison. Let's not just dream about what we want. And then, you know, Hebrews 13:5, it says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness," and conversation, there's your life, and "be content with such things as you have." And here's why we should be content. For Jesus said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." The reason I can be content is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's timing, God's method. God's method's interesting. He shows up with a dream, right? He shows up with a dream. Do I still think God can speak to people in dreams? Yeah, but I'm telling you, don't look for a dream. You've heard me talk about that before. I met a young man Monday night. First time, and he came into a Bible study, and here was his question. He just kind of just showed up, and he said, "I got a question for you. Why doesn't God talk to me?" I said, "You're not that important." I said, "God talked audibly to less than 40 people in the Bible." And I said, "What are the 27 books of the New Testament?" And he goes, "I don't know." I go, "Can you name the first four?" And he goes, "No." And I go, "God's been trying to talk to you for a long time and you just won't listen." I said, "You need to know this book and you need to stop watching YouTube clips or Instagram clips or whatever other clips you're watching, because I can tell you're listening to the kooks that say, 'God spoke to me.' And this is what he did." I heard a guy, "I floated over these people." You did not. You know, they can say all that baloney because you can't prove them wrong, can you? It's like, who are you going to believe? I said, "How do you know if it's God that talks to you audibly or the devil? Because the devil can do the same thing. How do you know?" And he goes, "Man, I don't know." And then, you know, I had him going down the swirl, and I said, "How do you even know if I'm not a kook?" I said, "Maybe I'm a kook and your family let me in here and I'm leading them to hell." I said, "How do you know? How do you know if I'm right or wrong?" He goes, "Man, I don't know." I said, "I give up. It's just dumb, isn't it? Dumb. I don't know." I said, "It's the Bible." I said, "This is everything God wants us to know about Him and everything God wants us to know about how we can honor Him." And I said, you're wanting to hear from God, and the devil's fooled you all your life, and you, because he told me, I told God last night. He said, I told him, I said, "God, I'll listen to you if you speak to me." When he told me that, I said, "I want to have a Bible study with you, and God will speak to you." "He that hath the ears to hear, let him hear," right? So he's going to meet with me next week. And long way to go. He doesn't know anything, right? But he knows YouTube videos, right? You understand why I'm against all those, you know, YouTube videos, right? Make sure, if you want to watch YouTube videos, I'll get you on the right people, right? HopeBC.org. No, I'm just kidding. it's okay, because people are so video-driven today, right? But we're all wanting to have a dream. You know, if you have a dream, go back to sleep and get in the Bible and trust that the Lord. I want to show you this verse, and this is just a good verse from Hebrews. And I do think there's been a, I'm not saying God can do whatever He wants that's consistent with His character and His promises and His word, okay? Now, just be clear, He'll never do anything against those. But I think there's an indication in the Scriptures that He has changed how He communicates. God, who at sundry times or different times and in divers manners and in different ways spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. I found this interesting. This is so cool. Who do you think God spoke to the most? It's a name. You get it, Randall will give you a $50 gift card. Moses. Yeah, you give yourself a $50 gift card. Isn't that awesome? Moses, and it's estimated that God, when the Bible says that he spoke to them verbally, it's like 50% of the time it was Moses. Isn't that interesting? Anyway, God, who at sundry times, different times, and in different ways, different manners, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. You want to understand and hear what the Lord is speaking. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the Word. You need to read the Bible in order to hear what Jesus has to say to you. It's not just the words in red. There's some kind of movement, I think it's over, thankfully, that I only read the words in red. I go, "Who told you that?" They're like, "I don't know." I said, "The devil." And I said, we get goofy thoughts, don't we? "Well, you know, I only like the words of Jesus." I said, every word in the Bible is the word of Jesus. And so what I want you to know is that it is just get in the book. And I do know this. My wife heard me last night. I was having a Bible study on FaceTime, and she said, because he's getting clipped out a little bit this next week, right? So I'm shortening him. It's Dakota. So Dakota knows I've had Dakota now for 3 years. He said, how long do you normally have Bible studies with people? I said, 3 years. And we're going to get him a church home. He lives up in Urbana. And so once he has a church home, then I'll be like, you know, hey, I'll still be his mentor and help, but probably not as often. And she was like, Dakota's not reading his Bible. It was okay. I mean, Dakota, my wife, loves you most of the time. Most of the time, just in case you're what he does watch. And Dakota's not reading his Bible. I said, no, I told him to focus on the New Testament. And so I would encourage you, if you're going to read the Bible, focus on the New Testament. Where I would have you start, if you're looking for a place to start, I'd have you start in the Gospel of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Start in that Gospel right there. I love the Old Testament. I think I would be sinful if, as a pastor, I didn't give a balanced preaching, Old Testament, New Testament, but I'm a two-thirds, one-third guy. God didn't tell us that in His Word, but I just know this. The New Testament is so clearly revealed because God has a different way. You follow me? He has a different way. The way He had it in the Old Testament, they didn't have the printing press. They had prophets and priests, and now, guess what? You guys, here's the key. I'm going to say this. In the Old Testament, the prophets and priests, whoa, way up there. Stellar. Isn't that the way the Bible speaks of them? So now what you guys got is you get the Word of God. And pastors. You know, so it's, we're just like the pygmies compared to the prophets and priests, because God gave them, they were the communicators of communicators, and God's hand was on them, and they could communicate better than any preacher. That's my opinion. Now we have the perfect Word of God, and we got flunky pastors. And so you got something better than they had in the Old Testament. It's the complete Word of God. It's one of the top five things that God's blessed us with. Here's again. You want to hear from God? It's in the Bible. You want some counsel? Be happy to help you. You want to hear from God? It's in the Bible. Third thing I want you to see, the chief butler speaks up finally. That's verses 9 through 13. I think I've spoken of that enough. And he finally did what's right. But I'm telling you what I think the chief butler's motive was, because the chief butler did not really directly endorse Joseph. He told him everything that happened, and he said, and it came to be. And he let Pharaoh decide. And so that's what makes me think he didn't say, because if in verse 9 he's saying, I do remember my faults this day, I think it would have been followed up by, I told this guy in prison that I would tell others about him because this guy is a dream interpreter. Do you think the butler's going to do that? Because that might get him, and Pharaoh could be like, what? You waited 2 years? Off with his head, right? I don't think the butler was convincing, confessing of his sin. I think he's just going back and saying, Pharaoh, you remember 2 years ago? You put me in prison. And I think he's kind of like, wrongly. And so I think, you know what I think the butler was doing? Increasing his butlership. He had a lot of confidence in Joseph. That's impressive. But I think he wanted to look good to Pharaoh. That's what I think his motive was. I talked about this in verse 14. Just let's look at it, and then I'll move on because I mentioned it before. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph after the butler tells him this, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. And so, you know, I tell you this. There's not a dress code here. There's not a dress code. I don't want there to be a dress code. I do want you to remember this. Who are you coming to worship? The king. Shave every once in a while. No, I'm just kidding. And so it's so, you know, but it's this. Beards are good. Beards are good. It's not the 70s anymore. I don't know what happened then, but it's remember this. You come to worship the king. Come to worship the king. And just, you know, it's in spirit and truth. I'm clear about that. But they're going to go stand before Pharaoh. Shave and a haircut, right? And so that's what they did. Changed his raiment, came unto Pharaoh. And then what I want you to see is I want to show you this, that Joseph gives God the glory. I want to show you all these, and this is just going to, I so enjoyed this part. Look at this in verse 15. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. Now I want you to understand this. This is pretty amazing. Remember Nebuchadnezzar said, you scallywags, I ain't telling you the dream. You got to tell me the dream, because you know what? I think you're a fake. You guys have told me some interpretations of dreams, and they're so generic, I wouldn't know if they came true. Well, the sun will rise tomorrow. Well, what do you know? It rose tomorrow. Right? And so Nebuchadnezzar made them tell the dream. You know what I believe? God kept the magicians from faking it. I mean, they could say, you know, well, Pharaoh, when you're at the casino, I think the number 7 is what you should focus on. Whatever. I mean, I don't know what they would say, but God kept them from saying it. So Pharaoh said, none of them could tell me. None of them could tell me. Then verse 16, this just took guts. And Joseph answered Pharaoh saying, it is not in me. Pausing has great effect. I did that to Stephen Tillery tonight. And I had no clue where they were going with when I paused, but I paused for effect. It was a better effect than I imagined. It is not in me. I can't imagine that Joseph paused that much. But do you love this? Turn back. It's the first words he said to Pharaoh. You know what he told Pharaoh? You're wrong. Didn't Pharaoh say this? He said, I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. He said, super nice. You're full of baloney. Said it nice. You know, that's why I wasn't Joseph. I wouldn't have done that anyway. I would say, well, you know, I don't know. But he said, it is not in me. You're wrong. That's a man. And then quickly, you don't think he was walking with God? Here's what happens to many people. Something happens and they're like, shaving a haircut. I need to think about God. Probably a little late. Turn to God in any instance. My point is this, right? But you're not going to have the wisdom that Joseph had. You understand that? Turn to God in any instance at all times. Trust in him. But Joseph had been walking with God. He was ready. Here's the key. Are you ready? You don't know when that opportunity is going to come. You don't know when that knock is going to come. You don't know when that open door is going to come. We need to be ready. We need to be ready. Jesus spoke of that with his return. Be ready. Are you ready? We're getting sleepy. Joseph said, it is not in me. God shall give thee, shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. I want you to then look at verse 25. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God hath showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. He's telling them, God's going to do this. You don't get a say, Pharaoh. He is letting Pharaoh know, you aren't the one that's the boss. That's pretty bold for Pharaoh. They worshipped him. He's telling this, you ain't the one that makes the decisions. Now, he's not saying it that way. He's doing it super respectful. But he is telling Pharaoh, who stands up to Pharaoh? Not many people that want to live. I want you to look at verse 28. Verse 28. He says, this is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. He's clear again. God's going to do this. Look at verse 32. And for that, the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. One of my favorite scenes in Horton Hears a Who was the vulture, Vlad. He's one of my favorite characters. No spiritual benefit here, but it just came to mind. And remember Vlad was, I have to go back a long time. My kids aren't little anymore, but Horton Hears a Who was when they were, you know, I watched Horton Hears a Who, and Vlad was like, I shall devour him. And he puts a dandelion in his mouth, and he twice devour. And so, okay, I mean, for some of you that remember, anyway. He says in verse 32, and for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. I do find it interesting. God does this. Listen to this. In Deuteronomy 19:15, God didn't have to do this, but he says, one witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity and for any sin, in any sin that he sinneth. At the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. I believe it would have given Joseph confidence as well when God gave two dreams. He said, and that the dream was doubled to Pharaoh twice, and I think it reassured Joseph that what he was thinking was the interpretation, because you know the Lord is giving him this interpretation. So, I mean, you know, I've told you stories before, right, where I'm like, Lord, I have nothing. And then at the last minute, he'll be like, do this. And I'm just like, a little earlier would be better. And so I don't think that he was like, he heard the kine, the fat kine being eaten by the skinny kine, and he's probably thinking, oh, I think I know what that is. And then he hears the next one, he's like, oh, I know what it is. God reassured him. I tell people this all the time. You should have peace of making decisions. And it's interesting, we were pretty critical on Gideon, aren't we? You know, I would hate to go back and listen to my message on Gideon. You pathetic man. I don't know if I said that. You know, had the fleece wet and not wet. He was just looking for confirmation because no such thing as luck, but maybe Gideon believed in that. Well, that was lucky. But when the fleece wasn't wet and everything else was wet, he goes, oh, wow, that's confirmed. I tell people this all the time. God will confirm with you and others. He'll confirm it. I'm not maybe the way you want. I told you when I felt the desire to pastor, I asked my wife, and I said, do you think I'm crazy? And she said, no, wherever you lead, I'll go. And I asked her, I said, you know, you've heard me say this before, I said, has God been moving on your heart too? And she goes, no. And I'm like, so I didn't get confirmation from her, but I got, you know, she actually made it more difficult on me. Wherever you lead, I'll go. And if it's in a ditch, it's your fault. Now, she didn't say that, but I love it. She's followed me, and she is, she's the best partner in the gospel that God could have ever given me. And it's good. It's good. But do you see what Joseph did? This is the pinnacle of this message. I thought that clock was wrong. That's why I did that. Okay, so that clock is 9 minutes slow. And I was like, wow, man, that's awesome. I'm going to slow down here a little bit. Probably not as much as I thought I was going to. So I remember it's 9 minutes slow. 9 minutes slow. So don't look at your watches. I have another 63 minutes. And I say that for Jalen and Lucy. They're like, what time is he finishing? And it's like 10 p.m. We're done. I don't go a minute beyond 10. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to tell you when I finish. You know, can you handle it? It's a little drool right here. I want you to understand this. In this message, this is the pinnacle. Are you ready to give God the glory? Are you ready to stand up for God, even if it looks like it might not work out for you? I do love this. Joseph was a man of wisdom. I want you to have this concept when you're pursuing people. When you don't have them, you can't lose them. So I'm super aggressive. I'm like, well, I didn't have them in the first place, right? And I will tell you, I want to sit down with them and teach them the Bible. I've watched the Bible do this. Draws them in, right? And they're like, you know, and the Bible will draw them in. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, right? It is. And so I want you to understand this. Pursue people. You can't lose who you don't have. And here's what I think Joseph probably had this thought. I would be fine if you killed me, Pharaoh. But one thing I'm not going to do is dishonor God. You don't like it? Kill me. I don't think he was suicidal. I just think he said this. I'm going to honor God because God was front and center on his lips. Was he not? You just got to love this. Every other sentence. And God's bigger than you. God does this. God's the one that's going to make it happen. And God has showed you this. He was making Pharaoh significantly inferior to the God that he was talking about. And you know what God did? Oh, I like that. And he blessed Jacob. He blessed Joseph. Sometimes you'll get martyred. See, you can't determine the outcome. Some of the most blessed people in all of history have died for the cause of Christ. Joseph got to live for the cause of Christ. It just brings great meaning to Galatians 2:20, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I think it's Galatians 2:20. Is it the Galatians 2:20? Do I have the reference right? Galatians 2:20 may be, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Philippians 1:21. Is that Philippians 1:21? For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. I knew that. I was just making sure. Okay, we're going to keep supporting Damien and Liz. And so Galatians 2:20. Yeah, okay, thank you for that. No, seriously. But are you ready to give God the glory? And then I'm going to move. Pharaoh retells the dream. Some of our men, there were two things when I reread it. I really highlighted one. What were the two things that Pharaoh gave us a little bit more information the second time he read this? Any of our men want to tell me? Right. I'm going to research this more, and that's a diet that'll sell. You can eat the fat stuff and nothing changes. Oh man, that's amazing. Right? And so that's what Pharaoh told him, is he said, and you know what? Because you would expect when the skinny cows eat the meat, they're going to get bigger and they're going to recover. And they didn't. There was just a second one he told. But that's the main one that I wanted you to understand, is that when Pharaoh retells the dream. Now, Joseph's interpretation, he glorifies God. I think we've talked about that. He tells Pharaoh, here's the dream. You're going to have 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. And so he tells him that, and Pharaoh agrees. And now let's look at verse 33 to 36, and we'll see Joseph's counsel. He said, now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. I want to tell you what we're about to go through. I don't think Joseph had in mind that it would be him. I just believe Joseph was just trying to be used of God. And Joseph had incredible management skills. He had managed Potiphar's house, and Potiphar didn't know anything except was on his table. And Joseph managed all that, and Joseph managed the entire prison. And he learned how to manage people, the jerks, the non-jerks, and everybody in between. And he knew how to run an operation. And he's helping Pharaoh here, and he says this, one of the keys, O Pharaoh, first you better understand the problem. Houston, we have a problem. There's a famine coming. Then he says, you better pick the right people. He says in verse 33, now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this. That's bold, is it not? And let him appoint officers over the land and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. There's something in history, I don't know if it's true or not, that it appears that the general tax of Egypt was 10%. This was doubling it. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But he says this. He says, you need to take 20% of all the plenty of the land, and you need to have officers because people are going to resist. Right? That's what they did in America. You know, America didn't fight over religious freedom. It was over taxes. You know, I mean, it's like money. It's always about money. The American Revolution was not godly. Sorry to burst your bubble. But it was all because it's like taxation without representation. You know, for every believer, who cares? Pay your taxes. That's what Jesus said. Right? Don't get caught up in all that stuff. That was a freebie, not in my notes. But so he says, you got to understand the problem. And then he says, you got to pick these. You got to have officers. And then verse 35, and let them gather all the food of those good years that come and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh and let them keep food in the cities. What a major operation. How do you keep that food for 7 years? Joseph was given wisdom and brilliance of God, and he knew how to lead people, and he knew this. I don't have to know everything. I just need to know the people that do know how to make this last and preserve this. And so God just blessed him, and he said, verse 36, and that the food shall be stored to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. Now I want to show you this. It's just incredible. So Joseph, just, if you want to study, I wrote down a few. If you just want to study verses 33 to 36 in terms of management, leadership, and how to handle a problem, Joseph did. And part of it is, you know, you've all heard this statement, you get what you measure. He said 20%, and we're going to store it, And then it just became so abundant that they almost couldn't count it. I want you to look at Joseph's stance impacts Pharaoh. Joseph's stance impacts Pharaoh. Now we're going to be verse 37, and then I'll be done here shortly. I do vaguely know what time it is. Not 10 girls yet. Just kidding. Verse 37. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such an one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? I want you to understand this. Pharaoh recognized Joseph had the Spirit of God. Just for sake of time, you know, I believe the Bible's clear about this, that every believer from Adam on, they were indwelled by the Holy Spirit. I want you to understand this. So I'm going to throw out this. There's a million things. This is a new one I've got for why I'm just opposed. Because here's what people teach. They'll teach that the baptism with the Holy Spirit is how you get indwelled with the Holy Spirit. Isn't that what they teach? No, that's not what they teach. Those that disagree with me, right? Is that right? Will they teach that the baptism with the Holy Spirit is how you're indwelled with the Holy Spirit, right? So I don't believe that. I believe every believer from Adam on is indwelled with the Holy Spirit. I want you to know this. It is, let me show you. Did I put verses on here? I don't think I did. Did I put verses on here? No, I didn't. Listen to this verse. I just want to tell you this, because I'm going to throw this out. This just came to me today, so it might be a little late. It says in Romans 8:9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Listen to this. He says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Romans 8:9, go back and look at it. He's saying, you're not saved if the Spirit of God doesn't dwell in you, right? So, if, and I don't agree with this, if the baptism is the Holy Spirit, is the way you get indwelled with the Holy Spirit, then faith isn't enough. You need to believe and be baptized by the Holy Spirit. You don't. Talk to me later. I believe the baptism of the Holy Spirit only happened twice. Two significant events, Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 10. And Joseph was indwelled by the Holy Spirit. He saw that the Holy Spirit was in him. I also want to tell you this. This is just another freebie. How many times does it say in the New Testament that we're indwelled with the Holy Spirit? Like three times. You know, it talks about people being indwelled with the Holy Spirit more in the Old Testament than it does the New Testament. So we act like the New Testament's like, and they were indwelled, and Jesus walked down the road, and they were indwelled, and Jesus did a miracle, and they were indwelled. It's not. But it's a truth. It's a truth. But it's a truth for all believers. Maybe it's a pet peeve. It's a big deal. It's a big deal to me. Pharaoh recognized that the hand of God was on Joseph. Joseph is promoted. Joseph then is promoted to second in command. Let's look at this, verse 39. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in the vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. I'm going to stop there. I'll show you in verse 46. It says, and Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So he's 30. Joseph is promoted. I want to show you this verse. I love this. Just promotion and advancement are from the Lord. There's a Bible verse that says that. I meant to put this Bible verse. I want you to turn to Psalm 75. Turn to Psalm 75, and I'm almost done. I'm almost done. Psalm 75. This is a verse that I've preached, and I had actually, I don't know. It's just a good verse. Good verse. I love it, and I'm going to apply it to different thoughts in my mind in the future. Psalm 75, verse 6. It says, for promotion cometh neither from the east, nor the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. God's the one that will promote you. God's the one that will take care of you. God's the one that will give you all you need. Isn't that good? I wish I had embraced that during my career in finance, and I would have been much more gentle. probably not, but I would have handled things differently and let the Lord just, I would have trusted in the Lord better. Because how do we please God? Trusting in Him, faith, right? That's how we please God. And so I just tell you that. And then the final thing, I want to talk this, and this isn't original with me, but I'm going to read this and I'm going to finish. The about face of Joseph's life. I read this summary and I thought, oh, I'm going to read this. Here it said, Pharaoh took his signet ring. Just listen to these and you'll just, wow, what reversal God did to Joseph's life. Pharaoh took his signet ring off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand. The signet ring was the expression of Pharaoh's authority. Now Joseph had his authority. Once he wore the shackles of a prisoner, now he had the signet ring of Pharaoh. Isn't God awesome? He clothed him in garments of fine linen. Once Joseph had the rags of a dungeon, now he had the wonderful apparel, garments of fine linen. He put a gold chain around his neck. Joseph once had the chains of a slave. Now he was adorned with a gold chain. Pharaoh had him ride in the second chariot. Joseph once walked as a slave. Now he traveled in style. He enjoyed great affluence. Pharaoh said, without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land. This expresses again the great idea of authority. Joseph once could only obey orders. Now he can only give them. What a great God we serve. I'm not looking for that this side of heaven, but I will tell you this. I will be clothed in fine linen. It was Angel that asked me last night that about 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that we will judge the world and judge angels. Right? And I said, isn't that amazing? Because I want you to understand, we're equal heirs with Christ, and we will reign with Him, and we will rule the world in submission to Christ, in delight. But you know, I mean, I might have some, you know, podunk city somewhere, and you know, because during the millennial reign, you know, we're gonna have 1,000 years. I think I can prove this, lifespans will be longer, and there'll be a great population boom, you know. And so it's but people that are born will be born sinners. And I'll have a perfect temperament, you know, so just imagine. You'll be like, I don't know if that's Steve. Looks like him, but he seems a lot nicer. And we get to rule. And that's not for power's sake. That's what Jesus does. Are we willing to suffer a little this side of heaven? I think the exaltation of Joseph is what God has in store for His children. But this side of heaven's hard. This side of heaven involves a lot of suffering. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Let's pray.